It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay. All right, before we get into anything, I have to talk about this, and you're not going to like it, and I understand, not for you, for the listeners. I just have to get this information out there. I have recently discovered something, and I don't know what to do with the information. And I guess out of a sense of wanting to misery loving company, I need to put this out there so people know. I recently learned and confirmed on YouTube, there are a lot of fairly explicit, completely uncensored videos of people, male and female, mostly female, getting bikini waxes and Brazilian waxes. Don't really understand why, and I'm very surprised by this fact. I was watching some celebrity talking about how they were obsessed with these videos. I don't know what to do with the information. I didn't believe it, so I went to look, and they're there, and now I don't know what to do with it, because there's a part of my brain that is fascinated and wants to check it out, and there's another part of my brain that I think is bigger that thinks that would be horrible to do.
Well, what's going on with the part of your brain that's interested, do you think?
I'm sure there's a prurient level to it, but it's once removed. It's kind of like the idea of watching. It feels like a fetish for somebody who's not me. I don't know. It's like, from a porn perspective, you don't need YouTube for this. Like, you could find, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I don't get why it's there. And I am fascinated by the idea because, of course, it's always been, it's not like I've ever had it done. And it's weird. Part of me is like, how does that work? But I don't know.
I'm not sure. I wonder if the region of the body affected is really that important to what fascinates people.
That's the thing. Like, on a certain level, it's like, is it a sexy thing? But then also, like, it very much doesn't seem like a sexy thing at the same time. But
well, my next question is, are videos where people are having hair removed in a similar fashion from other parts of their body, are those videos also watched? And if they are they less popular?
I don't know.
Because people like watching videos of people like popping zits and popping things like that. And stuff.
I can say, if you say to me, there's videos of people getting their chest waxed, I'm like, get that. And I'm not conflicted. I'm not particularly interested. Like, full stop. There's no other voice going on there. I'm like, okay. I don't know. Some of it is the taboo nature. There's something about how, like, this shouldn't be on YouTube or something. But again, another voice is like, this just sounds terrible. Why would I possibly want to see that? Which is why I'm not at this point. But yeah, my brain is just sort of, I've had a little vapor lock over this thing. And I mean, I decided I needed to share it with the rest of the world. And what you listeners choose to do with that is between you and your YouTube accounts and whatever. I couldn't keep it alone in my head. So now y'all have to live with it. Anyway. You like my new caftan?
Yeah, it's hard to, I mean, it mostly just, you've sent me a picture of like the whole, your whole body or whatever, so I can see the whole thing. This way it just looks like a shirt. But
yeah, I thought about getting more elaborate, but yeah, no, this is my new caftan. Just came in the mail today. It is very similar to the other one. The print's a little different, and it's way redder than I thought. On Amazon, it looked kind of orangey. It was very red. Oh. And they're both polyester. These are cheap caftans. They were both like $15 each or something. And they're both polyester. They don't breathe really well, which is the only real downside I have with it. This one is like satiny, and that's kind of nice. It feels nice. The other one just feels like poor quality fabric. It's hard to find other ones. Like, I think if I really want to get into it, I may have to like buy some linen and get someone to make me one.
Yeah.
Because there are, apparently caftans are the thing this year because of the Rona. It's like people are stuck at home, not bothering to wear much clothes, but then they need to go out, get the mail, or they need to go out to the delivery person, or, you know, in extreme cases, they got to go to the store or whatever. And so something they can throw on really quickly that's very comfortable is apparently a thing. You have frozen in a way that your face is blurred out and you look like some sort of horror movie. All right, there we go. Now you're normal again. It's terrifying for a second. But yeah, so apparently there is, by sheer coincidence, I've stumbled on, I am on the fashion trend, which doesn't normally happen. I got here, again, I think my friend who recently came out of trans got me thinking in terms of these kind of things. And in fact, she was not interested. And we had to have a talk about the fact that, like, she's still working herself. Her gender identity means something. And I basically have come to the realization that she considers herself a woman, in all likelihood will eventually have her penis removed and replaced with a vagina. I'm still probably the girlier one of the two of us. And when I mentioned this to her, she was very pleased with me. And grateful that I made that realization, because a lot of people apparently are like, oh, you're trans, let's go do X, and it's crap that she doesn't care about. And she said, she's like, I'm a woman, I'm still pretty butch, I'm not so much butch, but I'm enjoying this, because this is a, so as I think I've mentioned before, my gender identity at this point is generally labeled as whatever the fuck I want, and I'm really sort of leaning into that one. The thing I like about the caftans is, yes, most people, it's, you know, it's a boy in a dress. That's the thing. It, first of all, it's not. Caftans are historically a unisex garment. Admittedly, the ones I have are women's caftans because Amazon doesn't have men's caftan. Men have worn them, continue to wear them, whatever. But also, stopped back in the day when I was sort of trying to express things, there were things like, want to do this because I think it will make me more feminine, and this is much more I want to do this because I think they look cool and I think they'd be comfortable, and once they showed up, because I think I look pretty good in them, honestly. I wore the other one out to my massage therapist today, and I think I look pretty good. So
yeah, I think they look great.
I like that my own brain doesn't have as much of an agenda on this one, and it is so much simpler. Like, go get the mail or take the trash out or whatever. It's just nice and easy. So I'm very pleased about that. And they were cheap as hell. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magical Talking App Podcast. Only podcast. I don't know what it's doing for almost 500 weeks. Just recently, two of the people that I really like from Cracked started their own podcast, and it's kind of about nothing. Like, make a joke that, like, this is basically the phone call we would probably have on a weekly basis, because we live so far away now and we just record it. And I just, when I was passing through Twitter, I happened to see a tweet from one of them, and he said, I can't believe we've now made 50 episodes of a podcast that's basically like about nothing. I had to fight the urge so bad to get in there and be like, fucking amateur. Call me when you're heading towards 500 episodes of a podcast that is about nothing.
Almost like, 10 years.
Yeah, like, you, this is, no. The real test, yeah, 50 episodes. Whatevs. Like, yeah. Bring it to me when you're deep into three digits, then we'll talk. With no end in sight, with like no plan whatsoever.
Nope, that's right.
Like, only thing I'm sure of is after one of us dies, at most there's gonna be like three more episodes.
I don't know. I mean, think about it like this: if we live long enough, we will have, especially since we're doing YouTube, we will have enough audio and video to completely recreate the other person. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. Damn it. You just played yourself, buddy. I'm putting it in my goddamn will. If I die first, this keeps going. And it's entirely just clips of me from earlier episodes that you still have to interact with. And I give you carte blanche to edit them in any way that makes me agree with you or look stupid or whatever. You make that happen. That is now my wish.
You could also add artificial intelligence so that, you know, you could actually do,
I mean,
unpredictable things and
go nuts. Like, I mean, if you do that, odds are within three episodes, I will become super racist because that's how it's worked so far with AI. But I mean,
right.
Do it. 100% do that. Like, I will work to die before you just so that can happen. I love that idea. I'm not going to have to work very hard though. But yeah. No, I love that. Let's do that. Let's do that. I'm Tony. May or may not still be alive. You don't know at this point.
And I'm William, and this is episode 490.
Oh, boy.
I know. It's 500.
Ostensibly, I mean, for legal reasons, you're accorded a vote in things as far as the government is concerned. I'm really into, we just get everybody, every listener who wants to be in on episode 500 on the call. I think that's what we do for 500.
Why not?
And I think it's a hilarious idea because I don't know if there'll be anyone else left listening. So.
Yeah, well.
I say that, you know, I already have at least two guesses of people who I know listen regularly who probably would not want to be on there. But definitely we'll probably have more people on it than listening to it.
Well, I mean, it's recorded and then posted, so they'll listen, they'll watch it or listen or whatever.
I mean, maybe. I don't.
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose just about everybody but you.
I don't know. Well, I mean, and some of them at this point have records to keep. Like, Azutalon would totally be on, and he would totally listen to it just so he could say he's listened to all of them. I'm pretty sure he listened to the one we did in his hospital. Like, I don't know that I've listened to an episode.
Sure.
Ever. Because I've been here.
Well, I mean, what?
Someday you did it without me. There was one episode I wasn't in, except I was sitting on the floor trying not to cough too loud, so I heard the whole episode.
Well, one of the reasons I listen to them all is because I don't even catch everything that I say. So, you know, I listen to it again. It's like, oh, that's, you know, that happened in that conversation, I mean, or I said that or whatever. So, I mean,
That seems fair.
I mean, me just being there while it's happening doesn't mean I hear it. And when I hear it, again.
I don't have as much of that problem. And I'm also confident that whatever I didn't catch is okay to me.
Yeah, well,
I'm like, yeah, if it didn't, then I'm reading a book right now that I've read. Okay. I'm listening to an audiobook before that I've listened to before. And I'm really amazed at how much of it I don't remember. I mean, there are bits that, like, we get to that part and I'm like, oh yeah, I'd forgotten about this. There's other bits that I'm like, I legit do not remember this. Even now, when it's happening, this is not ringing any bells. Very odd for me. Anyways, to explain the show, we're here. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people, cool people, great people, wonderful people, cool. Write in that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with some notes, with some comments, with some questions, with some topics, with little brief thing. The hat magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. Aftan wearing servants, draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show except the parts that aren't, which is most of it. I wonder. Earthquake! Earthquake!
I wonder if I can do that.
Oh, yours is better. Yours sounds like it and stuff, too. Like, yours, I believe you're in an earthquake.
Yeah. Good.
To be fair, it helps that you weren't going, earthquake, earthquake, like the laziest Muppet ever. So, I mean, that lends to the verisimilitude, as it were. Mm.
Maybe I should. What?
What were you about to do? You were like stretching your neck for something.
Well, I was thinking of ways I could make it seem more realistic, not just with the camera moving, but with like.
Where's your wife? Dropping. Get her to throw a brick at you.
Yeah, that's what I need to do. Have someone throw things in here. That'd be good.
How's your week been?
Good. It's also been a little strange. My brother visited from Alaska, which was sort of a last minute thing. I don't think I even mentioned it last time because I'm not sure I knew.
But you didn't. Yeah, usually we know about that like months in advance.
No, I might have known about it, but just, and then I forgot to bring it up. But
okay,
I'm pretty sure.
Just him, or I'm did pretty he bring sure the whole family?
Just him.
Okay.
And it was very, very last minute, and so we went on Saturday, you know, social distancing and all that because he's traveling from a long way. And he works at a prison. So I think he'll have to quarantine.
In Alaska.
Yeah. He'll have to quarantine before he can go back to work. So that's going to take up most of his time off is, you know, 2 weeks of quarantine. So I don't know if they're counting that against his vacation, but he won't be working for those 2 weeks, so that's weird. But anyway, so he was here for 3 days.
Put one of those iPads on wheels in his place at the prison and be like, hey, stay in there.
Yeah.
I assume that's how prison guards work.
He was here for 3 days, and we just went over on Saturday and spent some time over there, and that was fine. It was a little, I guess, a little odd because, you know, we all have to be careful of – I mean, I talked before about how my family pretty much automatically social distances. So that wasn't weird. It was just usually when he visits and he only comes once a year, if that, you know, there's quite a bit more. There's less social distancing, right? It's like, hey, Roger, good to see you. And you'll give him a hug or whatever. So you know,
in the stomach.
Yeah, whatever. There's just things that because we don't see him very often. And but it was more like normal, like if he lived around here, what it would be like. And so that felt odd that we were all acting like he's just coming over like normal, and we weren't really behaving the way we usually do when he comes, which is, oh wow, he's here and he's never here, so now we're going to do these things that we couldn't do because we had to be, you know, cautious and stuff.
You could have found another way to make it like into a big deal, like come up with a skit or something, or like a song.
I don't know.
You know, a banner.
But so there was that, And but it was fun. It was good to get home. There was some question as to why I only came back for just that one day. But it's like, what, you know?
Because he's the only one I like.
And what? No, it's like it's already, you know, we're social distancing everything. If I come, I'm gonna have to stay at someone's house. That's gonna increase exposure and worry about, you know.
So, I mean, this even just, pre-coronavirus, like, you don't often go and stay overnight.
Although I have when he's in town. That has happened.
Have you? Okay, because historically, you guys just drive, because it's only like 2 hours. You drive over, spend a day, come back.
Yeah.
It's like holidays and stuff, yeah.
Right. And most, even when he's come for the last several years, I'll just go on a Saturday or whatever.
Yeah.
And part of that's because he's doing other things. He's got other people that he knows here. I mean, I've gone back before for 3 days or whatever and only saw him on one day because he was off doing something else or seeing somebody else. So it's not part of – there's a couple reasons why I started only going back, like, for day trips. One of them was, you know, I
– my life. The kids,
well, the kids, too. That was a – made it harder to go and stay for a couple of days or whatever. But also, like I said, I would go over there and I would probably only see him for a few hours, you know, on each day or only on one day anyway. So it just seemed to work out and work best. Now this time there's the added thing of doesn't seem as safe, right, to go over and stay in somebody's house.
Oh, we went over for 4th of July. And it is a much longer drive, and we still were only there for that day. We weren't about to stay overnight there.
Sure. So, but yeah, there was that. So that was fun. But then this week, I think partly because he was here, and then just a couple days later, you know, yesterday was the anniversary of my mom's passing, and it was that's always kind of a hard day for me, but it felt harder this year for some reason. I think probably because all of us were together like just days before.
Yeah.
And so yesterday was more rough than usual for me for some reason on that score. And then today is the 75th anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima. And it's like, I always think about that on the 6th of August. I always do. But then the 75th anniversary coming so soon after a rough day thinking about my mom. And it's like, this has been a weird week for me and I all sort of triggered by my brother coming home.
And then some freaks telling you about bikini waxing videos on YouTube. I mean, that's just the trauma capstone.
I think I somehow already knew about those or something. I think I already categorized those in the same space as pimple popping videos and things like that. People having a weird fascination with certain things for reasons that baffle me, but I mean, lots of things baffle me, so whatever.
My brother sent footage of Oak Island after the hurricane, and I was like, holy shit, what the? And then I realized it was Oak Island, South Carolina, which is a totally different place. I was all set to be like, dude, my friend is obsessed with Oak Island. I didn't know people still lived there. And I'm like, no, this is not the same.
I don't even know what's happening there this year because of COVID and everything. I don't know if they're going to skip this season or what. I don't know. I haven't heard.
Maybe the Pirates got
it. I don't know. The Ghost Pirates.
Ghost Pirates.
So how was your week? I know you got your two of your things or whatever. Are you getting more or just those two?
Not for now. I ordered the two for now. It was a testing phase, you know, but I like them, so we'll see. I'm pretty into
it. What else happened?
My doctor's appointment got moved up from October 13th to September 15th.
Woo-hoo! Oh, that's good. Well, yeah. Is it though? Because you were talking about how you were kind of glad you had extra time to stabilize your numbers.
I think I'm going to feel better the sooner I can get in.
Okay.
I want to see what's going on. Because things are going great and things are going good with the gym and all that kind of stuff. Just some of the numbers are not where I want them. And I'm like, you know what? answer might be a change in meds, at least temporarily. And better to find that out and do that than to just wait and hope it gets better with my own efforts. But we'll see. Still in the kitchen primarily for my homemaking stuff. It's really nice in there now. In fact, today I swept the kitchen floor. That has not happened in well over a decade. Because that was not possible to happen because the floor was not accessible.
I see.
And now it is. And tomorrow I'm going to mop it. I'm very excited. Watched a fair bit of stuff. I didn't talk, this might have happened the previous week. I don't know. I stopped watching Gentleman Jack in the middle and will not go back to it. Yeah,
the first season.
And I think they're going to, yeah, there's only one season out so far.
Yeah.
I won't go back to it when the second season happens either. And it feels very weird to me this time. I still believe in it, and it, at any point that a TV show is making me uncomfortable or the idea of watching it is like seems like a chore or makes me unhappy or something like that, I should stop watching it. And that I still very much believe in that. But normally when that happens, I can sort of blame it to a certain degree on the show. Like the obvious one is the rape thing. I'm like, you didn't need to do that. You did that. Sure, that's fine for some people, not for me. And it makes sense to me that that's not okay for me. And I'm fine with that fact. You know, shows that are just full of people that I'm like, I hate all of you. It's not a funny hate, you just all suck, like that's, you made a show like that. That's right. Gentleman Jack's a really good show. I highly recommend it. It's done nothing wrong. This is me being weird, and I'm sorry that I can't watch it anymore. I held off watching it for quite a while. I was kind of concerned. I mean, it's a show, not based on a true story, inspired by a true story of this woman who kept these diaries that they found and this whole thing. And she was a landowner in Yorkshire in the 19th century, and she was a lesbian, and she had all these adventures, and that's super cool. And I was worried because, I mean, I wasn't there at the time, but I feel like 19th century Yorkshire was probably not super great women or to homosexuals. Just a hunch. And I was worried that the show was going to be about all the adversity related to that, aka watching her have to go through a lot of traumatic shit. That would have been very realistic and would have been very made her hopefully eventually success all the more satisfying, but nevertheless would be traumatic and I would not like it at all. It didn't start out that way, and that was great. But it started creeping in. And again, very realistic, very natural sort of way. But by about the fifth episode, I'm like, this feels more like what I was worried about. We've got a lot more blatant misogyny. We've got a lot more people manipulating people because of that, like a lot more fighting over whether it is moral to be like this and all this kind of crap. I kind of wasn't enjoying that. And then at the end of the fifth episode, at the very end of the fifth episode, there's a rather violent scene. It's not a rape scene, but it is rather violent. And it just hit me in such a way that I'm like, as soon as I was done, I was like, can't watch this anymore. I've gone on and I read the rest and I'm confident nothing like that comes up anymore. But when I think about watching it, I'm just like, I feel bad. I still highly recommend the show. Trish has finished watching it on her own now. It's a good show, but yeah, my delicate sensibilities these days. But yeah, it's a weird one because it's the first one where I'm like, I really wish I could still be watching it. I could make myself, but I don't want to. I want to watch it. And that hasn't really happened before, so that was weird. Also watched, just today finished Killjoys. Oh, that was a good show. This last season was surprisingly good. I would recommend that to most people. It's in the vein. It's one of those basic cable genre shows with a small group cast that eventually balloons into a large ensemble cast that is very action-oriented and melodrama-oriented, and as it goes on, it learns that it's probably safest bet is to be more comedy-based, and you start to know the characters, and they have dynamic relationships, and you grow to love them, and you grow to have all the feels about them. It is like every Canadian sci-fi show that ever happened. It is, if you've seen Warehouse 13, if you've seen Lost Girl, if you've seen Eureka, I assume, if you've seen Sanctuary, I mean, all of these shows, it's Leverage. It's in that vein. And it's space sci-fi, and it's bounty hunters. And it's pretty fun. It's a pretty cool story, and it has exactly 5 seasons, and it's done. And they knew the last season was going to be the last season, so it all has a wonderful arc and finish to it. I would recommend it. Unfortunately, it appears that there's only 2 ways you can watch it. One, if you have access to the Sci-Fi Channel, you can just watch the whole thing for free in their streaming service. Two, you buy it from like Amazon, and it's like $25 a season, so that's a lot of money. I recommend it. It was a very nice ending. I enjoyed that. Not sure what I'm going to watch next. Maybe second season of Altered Carbon. I'm not sure. Trish and I are currently halfway through season 2 of Umbrella Academy. Have you watched this yet?
Yes.
You've already watched the whole second season?
Yep.
People really ate that shit up. Like, that was the thing. Trish was like, we have to watch this now. It's been out for 3 days. The internet is already trying really hard to spoil it for me. Like, people just jumped on that. And I do have to say, halfway through the season, it is quite a bit better than the first season. I also have to say, though, it still has all the things that pissed me off about the first season in the second season. The characters really reverted in a lot of ways. Like, all the characters had their particular character flaw that they had to get through in the first season. And in this season, suddenly that flaw has come back in each and every one of them. That's really frustrating. We're spending a lot of time on dealing with inner demons and getting them all to get together as a family before we can actually, you know, move on the plot. We're halfway through the season. I think we've just about finished with that shit. So now we can actually figure out what's going on. Characters are better written. The funny bits are funnier. The adventure is more interesting. The 60s setting is way cooler. Like, it's very fun to be playing around in the 60s. They do seem to have decided they were going to take every major social issue of the 60s and make that a character plot for one of the characters. Everything. We got your racism. We got your homophobia out of the 60s. We got your trapped housewife in a life she didn't choose situation. We were kind of hitting Vietnam, even though it hasn't happened yet. Like, we're like, you know what? Let's say all of the 60s problems happened to these people. Let's just say everything about that decade that was complicated and rough and that in hindsight was problematic. Let's have it all happen to them. Do you think Klaus was true, though, when he recently said, I think they did all get sexier. I think they all look more attractive in their 60s version, except Luther basically looks the same and Vanya basically looks the same. I also will say, I think Umbrella Academy is making me think less of Ellen Page as an actor. And I don't think it's Ellen Page's fault. Her character is so milquetoast. I was like, don't Paige just play one kind of boring character? And I was just about coming to that, and then I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude, she first showed up in Juno. No, she does not. You're just confused because this character just seems really boring, and even when they get amnesia, they're still kind of boring. Like, they get to cry every once in a while, but it's pretty... sounds like somebody's reading the script to prompt someone else. Like she's running lines with them, and she's not. It's not her acting job. Which is this
one critic that I was watching review it said that she thought that the amnesia plot device allowed Ellen Page to play the character just as herself.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is she's just a chill person. And no spoilers, but her subplot, you know what I mean when I say her subplot, felt weirdly tacked on and oddly out of place somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And like we're doing this because it's Ellen Page. Like, it felt like that to me.
Yeah.
Not that I'm opposed to it. I was like, they're not really gonna. Is it just? Oh, they really are doing this. All right. That's. I mean, I guess fine, but that's weird. But yeah. So that was odd. But no, I like it quite a bit better than first season. So if you liked first season Umbrella Academy, definitely be getting on this. I think this was last week. I watched a movie.
Okay.
You're welcome. I finally saw, the first time ever, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, yeah. You said you'd never seen that before.
Yes, but now I have. You seen it?
Yeah.
Okay. I had never seen it. A straight up homophobic slur right in the middle of it. And one or two plot lines of the kind that were funny in the 80s and now feel really creepy. Notwithstanding, it holds up as a movie geared towards young teenagers in the 80s. Which, let's be honest, that's what it was shooting for. If you were 13 and in the 80s, this was your movie. It holds up. I was very... Have I talked about this already? I thought I just saw this last week. All right.
Well, I mean, last I heard you talk about it, you mentioned that you'd never seen it.
Not that I... Okay, so now I've seen it. It's weird to see that Bill and Ted are both really stupid. Bill is decidedly smarter than Ted, though. Like, that's a noticeable thing. Keanu Reeves is the dumb one in that relationship. But I also find it fascinating. I knew George Carlin was in it, and I knew what role he played. And when you look at George Carlin's career, it fit. Like, that, you see that, you're like, yeah, that's a George Carlin thing. But if you look at his career, my opinion, if you look at his career all the way up before that movie, that's a really weird casting choice. That to me, George Carlin up to that point, that's not something you would cast him in, and he did great. I feel like that was a defining moment. His career took a certain, like, people are like, what was he like in Dogma? I'm like, no, in Dogma that did seem his kind of shtick. It had a lot to do with the fact that he had been in several other things like Bill and Ted that were more in this sort of line. But at the time, that was a really weird choice. So now I got to see Bogus Journey, and then we'll be all set.
I liked the second movie better than the first movie.
People have a very complicated relationship with the second movie.
Back then, also, when Wayne's World movies came out, there was almost a, are you a Wayne's World person or a Bill and Ted person kind of thing? Well, that was just, I mean,
I could most see people that. Liked I could see that.
Both, but there was, it was a friendly thing. It wasn't like they hated each other or something. It's
Mike versus Joel
kind
of thing.
Most people did. Yeah, most people had a little bit of a preference, and I had a preference to the Wayne's World stuff versus the Bill and Ted stuff myself.
I suspect I would too. I'm at the point now where both of them, I'm like, eh.
Oh, no, yeah. Right. Looking back, it's like, who cares? But at the time, you know, you watched them both and you thought, and sometimes you did have just a little bit of a preference toward one or the other. And I kind of preferred, not that I necessarily liked either one of them particularly. I just had seen them and I did have a little bit of a preference. Yeah.
Quite a few people I've talked to have said something along the lines of the second movie was almost certainly a worse film, but I kind of liked it better. That seems to be coming up a lot.
Remember.
They're like, I don't think it was as well done, but I just really enjoyed it. Multiple different people have said that.
That's kind of right. It's just there's gags in it and there's moments in it that you remember better, and like that was really funny more than you do the first film. Even if by comparing them, the two films together, you might think that, you know, the first one's better in a lot of ways. The second one just has more stuff that it's probably more quotable. I don't know.
I mean, excellent focus. They're all the same after that. I had two types of outbursts that I kept doing during the movie that I could not stop myself from. I had to call out every line that I remembered from the trailer, because although I didn't see the movie, I was, like all children of that era, bombarded with the trailer on TV all the time. So I knew the specific lines from that. I'm not proud of this. I get what I'm saying, and I get that this is like a low-level crime in society to have bothered, but I constantly had to point out the holes in their historic information as it went on. Like, yeah, I wasn't happy about it. I didn't want to be doing it, but I had to, like, constantly. It started as soon as we're like, Napoleon was that short dude. And I'm like, actually. And, like, so that happened. My sister, I found out, did not care for the movie. Maybe didn't. I think did not care for the movie. I didn't go on to see the next one or anything. Even though she was right at sort of that right age in there. For a reason that I could not fault afterwards, because technically, Ed played by Keanu Reeves. We all know who Keanu Reeves is. Bill, played by Alex Winter. We don't all necessarily know Alex Winter as much. The reason being is Alex Winter very quickly ceased to be in front of the camera for most things. He has had a much more involved career as a writer, producer, and director of, in my opinion, pretty shitty movies. But nevertheless, he has been somewhat prolific just behind the camera. However,
sure,
he was known for one thing before Bill and Ted, when even Keanu was not really known so much yet, and that is as the least talkative vampire in The Lost Boys. He's one of the ones in The Lost Boys. I think he's the first one to get killed. He's got just huge curly blonde hair, like he was what was that guy's name? Who was the guy who did How Am I Supposed to Live Without You? He was a big easy listening heartthrob in the 90s. Had really long, curly hair. It's like Kenny G, but he sang instead.
Is that Steve Winwood or?
No. It was after Steve Winwood.
What's his name?
Right? You know exactly who I mean.
Yeah, he's actually done something recently, too, kind of a comedy thing. God,
yeah, he does a few comedy bits, which is really good. Yeah, he was
and usually making fun of kind of himself in his own career. Yeah. Oh, what
he was absolutely the Michael Bublé of the '90s.
Michael Bolton?
I get an assist on that for accidentally mentioning Michael Bublé.
Michael Bolton.
Yes, because Office Space has a whole thing where there's a character named Michael Bolton and he won't change his name and he gets really mad because he hates Michael. Yes, Michael Bolton. Alex Winter's character in Lost Boys is a wig like Michael Bolton. That was not worth the trip. Anyway.
Okay.
So, 1984, my sister is of the age where you go to the movies and you see scary movies and stuff, and you go and see Lost Boys, which at the time is one of the first major vampire movies, and it scares the shit out of her because she's a teenager. Consequently, it takes her many decades to stop being afraid of Kiefer Sutherland.
Hmm.
Which I get. But because he was only in like two more goddamn movies, she has no such ability to eventually grow out of her fear and disgust of Alex Winter from Lost Boys. Therefore, she cannot do Bill and Ted.
Is your sister very close in age to me? I mean, I was a teenager in 84 also. I mean, didn't realize that
she's older than you, but only by a few years. She is. Let me work this out. She's probably born in 68.
She's a year older than me.
That's it.
68. She's just a year older.
December. Than me. It's December of 68. I think.
Then she's even less than a year older than me. She's like 2 months older than me.
You're old. Yeah.
So I'm practicing.
Well, I always think of it as she's 9 years older than me.
Yeah, and I'm.
It's really 8 years and 11 months older than me.
Yeah, I'm 8 years older than you.
Are you? Then, yeah, you're almost exactly the same age.
Yeah.
Good question.
Exactly.
Yes, your sister's almost exactly the same age as my sister.
She's like two and a half months older than me.
This is a social thing that happens. When you are in a group of friends, over time, it feels like all the ages sort of squish a little bit together. So, like.
Yeah.
I actually have friends a little older than you in my gaming group, and I have people younger than me, and my wife is 5 years older than me. In my head, we're all about the same age. My sister is decidedly older than me because she's my older sister. So
I mean, she would have been a grade ahead of me in school, but
probably too because she skipped a grade.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, but we're practically the same.
All right.
Age.
Yeah. So yeah, basically. Yeah. So why aren't you scared of Alex Winter?
Well, for one thing, I didn't see Lost Boys until like a year or so ago. Remember?
Well, that was Trish's thing. I was like, actually, Lost Boys came out before this, so you would have seen Alex Winter before. She's like, no, I didn't see Lost Boys until I was a grown-up. I was not going to watch a scary movie like that. But what were we talking about?
I didn't see it. And when I did see it, I don't think if I'd seen it when I was younger, it would have scared me. I think I didn't like it. I mean, I didn't like it watching it now. I'm sure I wouldn't have liked it watching it then. I probably wouldn't even.
I don't think I liked it the first time I watched it. I have liked it a great deal since. It is one of those movies that is awesome, not necessarily good.
Honestly, I like the idea.
I enjoy that movie, but I don't want to give too much credit to the actors or the writers or the producers or anything.
I like the idea of it. I just didn't think it was executed well at all. Not even for the 80s.
By the idea of it, you mean Corey Haim and Corey Feldman playing two comic book nerds who secretly fight vampires, right? That's the thrust of that movie.
No, I mean the whole Peter Pan angle. Like,
tricking a guy into thinking he's eating maggots when you get Chinese food.
Anyway,
Diane Wiest getting a second chance at romance with the guy who turns out to be the head vampire. Spoiler alert for the Lost Boys.
I just thought it was very, I just didn't think it was very good. Like I said, even for the 80s, and the 80s has a pretty low bar.
What I love is in that movie, the female lead, her name is Star. And she's a sexy leg lamp. She doesn't do much in the movie. people obsess over her and try to possess her and all that. She's the pretty girl in the movie. And then years later, there's a sitcom called Still Standing that is very much in the CBS vein of slumpy fat guy has naturally hot wife and kids, and they have, you know, trials and tribulations of a white Cosby show. And she plays the mom in that. It was so weird. I'm like, she looks so familiar to me. And then I was like, holy chick. Holy shit, she was the hot chick in Lost Boys. And she still looks good. But I was like, because now she's like very intentionally, like that show, they were very like sort of low class and gross and that kind of thing. And it was just a weird exhibition. Kind of like finding out the dude that played Billy the Kid in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure also played Ram in Tron. That messed with my head. What did not mess with my head is the fact that he also was the lead in the movie Dead Kids, filmed in New Zealand, set in Galesburg, Illinois. Not recommend. Seriously, the movie was not good. What were we talking about?
I don't remember.
I had to have a talk with Trish today in which she had to convince me I don't have the Rona. I haven't been sleeping good this week. And
are you having some symptoms or something?
Well, that's the thing. I haven't been sleeping very good, and I have a lot of body ache. But the reason I have a lot of body ache is I started the weightlifting again this week at the gym. And Jesus Christ, I did almost nothing. And I got it was so bad. You know, the DOMS, the delayed onset muscle strain, where you work out and the next day you hurt?
Yeah.
Well, the very first time I went to the gym and started working out, my body was so confused that it didn't hurt the next day. It hurt the day after that. And that happened again this week.
Mm.
I hardly did any weightlifting. So I was like, I have a lot of body ache, but I think I know why. And I don't know. I've just been very out of sorts this week. I don't know what it was. And it's been hot. We've had the house open because it's been cool.
Yeah.
But not as cool as when we have the house closed and the air conditioning is on. So, like, it's not as comfortable. And I still think it's good. We give the air conditioners a break. The kitties get some outside sniffs. You know, we get some fresh air in the place. I thought I was going to close it up today. I think I'm waiting until tomorrow. But I'm closing up tomorrow. But so I've been unnaturally hot and stuff like that. So, like, I was like, am I getting sick? I don't know. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm not, but I need someone else to convince me. So. What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Who is this? Anyway. All right, I just draw a thing out of the hat.
Yeah, let's draw a thing.
Is this your card?
It is! How did you do it?
This is from Azurtalon.
Oh.
And it appears to be abridged, as though Azurtalon recently sent in some really intriguing and good questions that he was just too fucking wordy on. And the hat magically had to find a way to abridge them in a way that made sense. Because it's hard to write all that shit on a card if you're a hat. It's like it was that. It's as though that was what was happening.
Yeah.
As though Azurtalon, possibly for the first time ever in 9 years, was writing in with intriguing, thoughtful, good questions, but made them so fucking long that they were hell to transcribe. Had to be abridged.
Yeah, if you're a hat, it's hard.
The hat, yeah.
If you were a person, maybe it wouldn't be hard, but as for a hat.
No, if you were a person, you would drive to his house and punch him in the face. Okay. Luckily, wasn't a person. Hat. Yeah. No,
can't drive.
Your face, and thank goodness for that, Azurtalon. Thank goodness that some dude in a caftan didn't just show up at your door, punch you right in your goddamn long-winded face. Anyway, Mr. Talon says, hosting cupcakes. You know?
What's that? Again,
had I read this earlier, if for some reason I had been transcribing these, I only just now would have gotten that joke.
What is it?
Earlier I would have, hosting cupcakes is how he addresses us.
Oh.
That's funny. I'm just getting it now as I'm reading it for the first time. But if for some reason I had read it earlier, I would have only gotten it just now. I think maybe saying it out loud was something. I don't know. Because if I had seen it earlier, I probably would have just read it. Again, didn't happen if it had. Or a hat. Hosting cupcakes. Would it be realistic and appropriate to cast most exclusively multiracial actors in properties that are set in the future?
Well, I think
on the assumption that over time the human race is going to look more multiracial just due to interbreeding, I guess is what he's going for.
Well, I think anytime you have an excuse to cast a more balanced ensemble based on everything. I mean, not just race, you know, if you want to just go with skin color in general or size or sex or gender or whatever.
Skin size.
Whatever it is, sometimes I just go with there are three words I use. Size. Well, whatever it is. Anyway, color. Whenever you know, they all start with S. Size, something in shade. Size. Anyway, anytime you have an excuse to do that, for example, it's a fantasy setting, or like he just mentioned, in a future setting, or it's humans have colonize space or whatever, and you've got every reason to expect that would happen in a way where people are pretty much not even proportionally represented. So like if you were making a show or a movie or whatever, or even writing a book where things were happening in the United States today and you wanted it to be proportionally represented, well, there's certain proportions of people that you can put in there. But if you know, like the Black people are 13% of the U.S. population or whatever, and so much of the population is gay or whatever. But if it's going to be set in a fantasy setting or in space or in the future or whatever, where you can pretty much get away with giving everyone pretty much equal representation, if you will, then yeah, why wouldn't you do that? I mean, that's going to be fun to do from a storytelling standpoint, interesting to do.
That's not what he's suggesting here. He's not saying multiracial cast. He is saying exclusively, or at least almost exclusively, multiracial actors. So no white people, no Black people, no Asians, no Hispanics, just multiracial people.
Oh, so like he's trying to sort of make a point about what the population will look like.
Yes. And he also uses two different adjectives, which I think have very distinct answers. He says, would it be more realistic? And would it be appropriate?
Well, see, now that's a speculative fiction question. So if it doesn't really matter if it's realistic or appropriate. What matters is, are you trying to make a point from the standpoint of someone who's writing a future-oriented speculative fiction? If you happen to think that this is going to happen, or if you want to make a point about it happening, then that's what you do.
I agree with the term realistic. I'm like, in my head, that's not a thing you can determine. And what's more, not a thing you should in a piece of speculative fiction. When you're writing sci-fi, you're not trying to produce the most realistic society that future will have, because we don't know what that is. You can get into technological hard sci-fi versus soft sci-fi, but any attempt to predict what people will look like in the future is ridiculous. So,
well, people do it all the time, though. I mean,
and it's always ridiculous.
Yeah, it pretty much is.
I'm with you.
You're right.
Make it what you want it to make, or make it what you think works for your thing. When you say appropriate in this, in the climate we are in right now, I say make it as mostly leave out the white people. Across the
okay,
board.
But wait.
No, and hold I'm on, though, on this.
There are people, there are, I mean, I don't know what opinion you might have or not have about these people, but these are scientists, or at least they claim to be, who speculate about, you know, how, what demographics and migration and things like that. And they speculate about, I mean, there's actually been speculation that actually in within 100 years, there might not, there actually will be very few people that look like, say, you or me. So, I mean, so it makes sense if someone's writing something that happens 100 years from now and they think it's going to be a realistic thing to have white people either very scarcely represented or not represented at all. I mean, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, but it's one of many. There are lots of competing theories, and there is nothing that I would claim scientific consensus on this. So,
no, that's true. That's
but
right.
Here's the thing. I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying when you make your story, say what kind of vision do you want? What kind of message are you sending? And what do you do in that line? But that is for the realistic category. The appropriateness category, I'm going to say, just leave out white people. All the time, as much as you possibly can, leave out white people. And I'll tell you why. Because if everybody who listens to me, which is not that many people, does that in everything they create, which is probably not that much stuff, and does that for many, many years, still get nowhere near to the point where white people aren't still the dominant race in every single piece of fiction in existence.
Yeah,
so for the sake of even just beginning to level the playing field, keep white people completely out of any piece of creation you have right now, because they got way too much already.
Well,
kind of like
won't.
When Jordan Peele says he's not going to do stuff about a white family.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody's like, oh my God. I'm like, no, it's appropriate because everybody else is doing it about white people.
It certainly won't hurt anything. I mean, you're not, there's nothing it's going to harm. Well, and we've talked about this in relation to things with women in the cast, for example, you know, having a cast that's predominantly or all women. It's like,
which is what I do.
Yeah, what harm would there be in that? And like you just pointed out, you could encourage everybody to do that, and the practical outcome is going to be, of course, not everybody's going to do it, and you could go years and years, and parity in storytelling would never even be achieved, even
yeah,
though
you
some
could go
people
years and years with everybody doing it. And
yeah, yeah, yeah. So
and I still
not,
get stuff.
Yeah.
I work at it, and I still. Admittedly, most of the cast of Odd Wings is female. Most. By a healthy margin, but there are some males. I would still say, and this was actively trying to make it as racially diverse as possible, still probably like half white, maybe even more than half white. Just because I wasn't thinking actively enough about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it can't hurt. Do it. Do it in everything. And as far as realistic, people are making up shit. They've got some backing for certain theories versus others. There are competing theories that have just as much credibility, and nobody's achieved consensus. And again, as William helpfully pointed out, science fiction is speculative fiction. Nobody's writing science fiction trying to show us what the future will look like. You're trying to make a point. You're trying to put out a hypothesis. You're trying to give a message. You're trying to do a specific story arc. So make your cast how it relates to that. As I don't even understand the concept. I don't understand the concept. I understand the concept of hard sci-fi, taking ideas that could very well be the future and using them. The idea that I'm going to write this fictional piece and I want it to be as realistic as possible for what things are going to be like in 23rd century. You have no fucking clue.
It's well, but here's
a
another
silly
thing
to be shooting for.
Here's another thing. It, and this is, I've told people this who've asked about, you know, having a cast that's all one group or the other, or excludes white people or excludes men or whatever. Nobody, there are lots of things that have a lot of men and or white people in them, where if especially if it's speculative fiction and you look at it, and if you really think about it, you realize it doesn't make sense that there's so many men and or white people in this. It seems like there would be more women and or people of color in this, but nobody explains it. Nobody bothers to explain why.
Incredibly few Asians in Firefly.
Yeah, yeah.
Despite the fact that everyone speaks Chinese.
The point is, nobody seems to mind, care, or think an explanation is required for there to be too many white people and or men in, say, Star Trek or whatever. So why should you have to explain it if you decide, I'm just not going to have white people, or I'm just not going to have very many men? What explanation should you offer? Because nobody ever explains older fiction, for example, or even modern fiction.
Or current fiction.
Here's a thing that I always notice, and it bothers me so much, is there are a lot of shows that have where there's an ensemble cast for the main characters, right? And it's an odd number of people, and for most of TV and film history, that if it's not all men, there's either one female, or the men outnumber the women, right? So like if it's a group of five, and it's either going to be all five, it's going to be five men.
It'll be one woman or two women.
One woman or two women. That's right. It's almost never three women and two men. Or
every superhero team, every group of friends in a sitcom, everything like that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I have been frustrated about this since I was a kid. And yet, when I create things like that, I do it almost all the time. I very much have to remember not to do that. It is so...
You just see it all the time.
If you have a team of superheroes or a team of anything in your show or your comic book or your movie, either one of them will be women or... just it'll be as close to half and half as you can get, but there'll be one more man.
Yeah, almost every time. It's weird.
If it's
like planned that way or something.
You may get a 50-50 split, but I would say it is more common that you still get minority women.
No,
minority of women. I should have specified. We're not even doing race bits here. And of course, all of this applies to race too. You also don't have a group where the white people are less than, like, that's not a thing either. Sometimes you'll get a group where the whole point is that they're incredibly diverse, and so you'll have one from a bunch of different races. You'll still have two white people. Somehow. You'll have the white man and the white woman.
Well, and you know what they'll say, what I often hear said, even by critics, is the reason you've got to have a certain white and or male representation is because these are the people who are mostly watching these things. It's like, that's not even true.
No.
And
it's not true that that's what they want necessarily. I think I've come up with a really good answer here. And I think this may be how I answer this issue in the future all the time now, which sounds silly, but this comes up a fucking lot in my personal life, on the podcast, in the world. So I think this is the thing. When you are creating something, when you are creating a role-playing game, when you're creating a TV show, where you're creating a book, where you're creating a story, where you're creating a movie, whatever, your racial, gender, orientation ratios, your combination or whatever, should always be intentional. It should never be "It just felt right," or "I just did it randomly." Always do it on purpose, because you're saying something one way or another when you do it. So always make sure when you look at that, you're like, that is what I wanted. And I'm sick of this stuff where people are like, "I just thought it would be realistic," or That was just how the characters felt in my head. No. Make a decision. If you're going to have a bunch of white people, that's fine. Do it because you wanted a bunch of white people in this story. Own that. I think as long as you own the demographics, we just all have to stop pretending that I just go with my gut and this is what I come up with, or, you know, it just happened this way, or it just felt like how it would be. No, own it. Own your demographics, and then it's what you wanted. Of course, William and I are of the opinion, own your demographics by leaving the fucking straight white men out of it as much as possible. Well, that is, that's our view. That's we're trying a certain representational thing. We're not saying everybody has to do that.
I'm not sure I understand the instructions you just gave, though, because for what, here's something that I support. I support a person looking at their story, noticing that it's got far more men and or white people in it than they wanted, and just saying, well, then I'll just change them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to. Yeah. Right.
So many people end up with a thing that's full of a bunch of white people or males or whatever, yeah. and they're just like, this is my cast, and they don't do that. They just have it like, that looks fine. And then they make it, and people are like, why is it nothing but white people? And they're like, I didn't do it on purpose. That's just how the character felt. You had a debate with a friend of ours that I'm not going to mention by name on here because he doesn't come out looking good. Talked about how there's something intrinsic, and when you invent the character, that's attached. And that is how we ended up with all these straight white males, because whether we're straight white males or not, we've socialized that shit in our brain. It bugs me, and I still find myself doing it. And I don't think we have that luxury anymore of saying, I'll just do what fits this character. In role-playing games, when I have to come up with an NPC on the fly, far too many of them are women, and almost all of them are white, because I'm just thinking on the fly, and that's where my brain goes. And I don't like that. And when I'm building stuff beforehand, it doesn't usually happen. And I work harder and harder to try and make that less. But it happens all the time because that's just where my brain goes. And I'm tired of people saying, you're making too much out of this. Nobody did this deliberately. No, that's the whole problem.
No, you're right.
That's what the hegemony is about. So we need to all start doing it deliberately. And then we can be held accountable for what we did.
Yeah,
and we can say why we did it.
That conversation I had, you're right. That's exactly what we're talking about, is that this notion that you said, because this is what people always say. They say, well, nobody did this on purpose. But yes, they did do it on purpose.
Well, not they did it unconsciously on purpose. Yeah.
Not to put anyone down or not to exclude anybody, but include anybody either. That's right. It didn't happen randomly. And that's so hard to get people to understand, because it's like, remember that story I told you about the friend who, while we were watching a news report, pointed out to me that every time in the news report, it was about crime on the Iowa City campus. And every time the word crime was said, or a crime was being talked about, there was a black person on the screen. And
that
otherwise,
was probably not consciously decided.
No, the person
didn't
say.
It was absolutely unconsciously. Saw a black person and their brain was like, that looks like a criminal thing. And they said, but it didn't even register for them.
But it wasn't accidental. It wasn't by chance.
It wasn't random. Okay. Yeah.
Right. It wasn't random. And that's, people have a hard time with this concept of, well, it's either on purpose or it's absolutely not. It's like, no. There's kind of this middle ground.
And
where the
idea
not
that something can't be prejudicial if it wasn't intentionally prejudicial.
Yeah.
Like, it's not racist if you didn't mean it to be racist. Not a thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's a weird thing.
And I should point out that your reasoning can be different. You and I cast our works similarly. Very intentional diversity, as much as we can consciously remember to do, of gender, of race, of
sexual orientation.
But I think in particular, you and I push extra hard to do very little white and a lot less male. And you do it, I believe, entirely for representational purposes and what you think should be out there representationally. And I do it for that reason, and also because I fucking hate white men. But see, that's my intention, and the results are the same, so why you do it matters. You should just be intentional. I just wrote them down and that's just how it came out. No, decide. And if you have to, do it afterwards. Make your group, make your thing, and then and say, how many white people? How many men?
Yeah,
how many
great, straight people? The great flaw in thinking that my friend was exhibiting, a lot of people exhibit, is that somehow these stories exist somewhere in full, right? And I'm just telling, the story I told just had white people in it. I can't help it. No, it didn't exist out there. You made it. And therefore, you have to be responsible for its content and what it's going to be. Like you said, you got to own it.
And if you say,
a lot of people don't own it.
I wanted to tell a story that was just about white people, that's valid. Now, there's a lot of other issues I might have with you, and I might want to delve into why did you want to do that, and maybe we aren't friends anymore. But that is absolutely valid to say this is a white cast because I wanted to tell a story about some white people.
Isn't that weird, though?
Sometimes there's reasons behind that won't even piss me off. But
but isn't it strange
to play straight white men? Would have been weird if they'd cast others in it.
Yeah, but isn't it odd that is the go-to for these things? Like, you hear this online all the time. People are saying, you should just do the thing that best serves the story, like the story exists independent of the creator's mind or influences. It's like, this story isn't just out there and the creator discovers it fully formed and gives it to you.
You're telling me the story isn't really that good if this guy's black instead of white. And I'm like,
yeah, that's also weird.
Fuck your story then. That's a bad story. Like, no.
It's so strange.
People like to have authority, agency. Don't like to
not
have
accountability.
Responsibility.
Yeah, they don't like to be accountable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you write something or you film something or you create something and people come to you and say, I find this super offensive, it's possible they're just crazy people. And that happens. It's also possible something in it is something that people might find super offensive. And I'm hoping all of you didn't do that on purpose. But if you did, you need to be like, holy shit, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
You're right. Fuck. I should change it, or if it's already a published book or whatever, you should be like, that is a super good point. My next book, I'm gonna work on like that can't happen again. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Ursula Le Guin wrote shit in the 60s that a lot of feminists had issues with. And she herself was like, I was not as versed in feminism at the time. I didn't notice these things. Looking at them now, I see what you're talking about. And she went on to write stuff that was way more feminist, including sequels to earlier stuff that the shitty patriarchal contingent was like, oh, you ruined it when you made it about a woman this time. But she was like, no, didn't tell the woman's story last time. Now I'm telling a woman's story. Time a celebrity says something racist and everybody's like, dude, that's fucking racist. You're like, no, I'm not racist. I would never. I'm sorry if you were offended. But no. And then you got people who are like, say something racist. And they're like, that was racist. And the other person, and then the celebrity's like, shit, you're right. I can't even believe I said, oh man. That was terrible. I don't know what I was thinking, but yes, that was legitimately shitty and racist. I'm sorry. I will try really hard not to do that in the future. I'm fine with that. I said something while watching, must have been Umbrella Academy, and I said something out loud. I don't even remember what it was. Just remember that literally on the last word of the sentence, I immediately had to follow it up with, that was incredibly racist. I don't even know where it came. I think it was something where there was some situation going on and I said something about so-and-so I'm surprised they're not Asian or something. And I was immediately like, what the fuck did I just say? Why the hell would that be a thing? I think it had to do with somebody knowing martial arts or whatever. But, like, it made sense in my head, and I said it, and nobody else said anything. But as soon as it was out of my mouth, I was like, oh, my God. And I apologized to my wife and to the television, who wasn't listening to me.
You know, another thing that's always weird is when, like,
a, and you know what? Woman, neither of them have held a grudge about it.
A woman or a non-white person gets cast in a role, and people complain about that. And their complaint is, oh, this is a, they've got some agenda or whatever by it's casting
tradition.
This person.
It's tradition.
And the first thing I all think is,
all of our things have been white male in the past, so making them not white males now is ruining those things.
The first thing I think is, what if they do have an agenda? Who cares? And the second, because all, you know, most stories have an agenda. And the other thing I think is, so you'd be okay if this was a white male? Why is it? Why does it matter? Why does it make a difference? But it does. And their argument is always, well, that they shouldn't cast someone just because they're not white or a woman. They should cast whoever's best for the story. Well, how is this? What about this person automatically, before you even seen this movie, makes this person not best for the story? It's so weird how they.
James Bond is not thinking. Black.
Oh, yeah. That's a good example. That's a good example. It's like,
as Nish Kumar points out, James Bond is not real.
Right. Exactly. So why does it matter?
And James Bond was, all of that shit was written in the 60s. Daniel Craig uses fucking sat phones and laptops. And what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, it's so weird. To me, it's just strange. You know, and people say, well, you know, racism, sexism or whatever. I get that, but it's also so bizarre. It's just bizarre.
It's change.
Even
it's
apart
unfamiliar.
From it being wrong.
It's frequently, and I'm not saying this is conscious. Again, people don't know this is going on in their heads, but it's different from how I was enjoying it. Therefore, it's wrong, or it's a conspiracy, or somebody ruined my child. That's the totally non-racist, sexist version is the so-and-so ruined my childhood.
But it's also not different, because if they cast an actor with a different eye color, you wouldn't even be able to tell.
Exactly,
or a person with different
think back
color.
To everything Michael Bay has ever done. Michael Bay's Transformers movies, Michael Bay's Ninja Turtles movie. Everybody's like, this ruined my childhood. Every time they took a property from before and they redid it, and they don't like it as well, and it's ruined, you know, the prequels ruined my childhood. It's like, no, they just are things you don't enjoy. Which is fine. The stuff you liked is still there. I mean, don't get me wrong. I never saw the Ninja Turtle one. And I only saw one of the Transformers. And I hated it thoroughly. It has not, however, retroactively done anything to my happy memories of Ninja Turtles or Transformers.
Right, right.
Like, I'm sad that shitty art exists. But there's a lot of shitty art. And that's just how things are. And it makes the good stuff that much better. In comparison.
Yeah, but I can understand a person wanting something that they grew up liking to be crafted.
Absolutely.
Well.
Don't get me wrong. For the I would have race loved it if Michael Bay's movies had not been shit.
This idea that
is somehow harming the stuff you already like. And so the idea that now that James Bond is black, and I personally don't like that because I'm racist or whatever, that's fine. You're entitled to be racist about that. It doesn't change the ones you did like. All of those movies are still there. Just don't watch this one. Like, if there's been a change to a property that you don't like, don't consume it.
Well, yeah, but people just, you know, they want stuff to be made specially for them, and they don't like
exactly.
it if it's...
Exactly.
Because if you make
and
a James Bond movie...
Bond, in their heart, is a white guy, and that may be based on systemic racism, and that is definitely based on systemic racism, but it also might just be on that's what they're familiar with, and that's what they're comfortable with, and it's a change, and they don't like it. And it's a big change, because race is always a big change, unfortunately. The eye color thing doesn't apply, because we're not sitting around in the movies watching James's eyes a whole lot. Race is something that we as a people have decided is a significant thing, not eye color. And so it's a significant change to what we love in our hearts, therefore it is bad, rather than therefore it is different, and maybe for a different generation than me, and I should just watch the shit I like. It sucks that this one is not what I wanted, but it doesn't mean it's ruined it from before, yeah, or that it's wrong. Although the Michael Bay movies are wrong and terrible.
Well, except if it's about race, and the person is objecting to it for racist reasons, it's, you're right, it doesn't destroy what they liked before, but I think they're probably not being sincere about what really bothers them about it. What they're probably scared of is that it'll never be what they want it to be. Like, it's over, right? Like all they have now is their childhood version of it. They're never going to have anything new or whatever. And so they feel like they're being pushed out or marginalized or whatever else, which maybe they are. And maybe that's about time they were, because
too fucking bad.
Yeah, exactly.
You realize how many movies nowadays are not made for me versus how many movies used to be made for me? Oh my God. Guess what? I'm never going to have a Ninja Turtle property that I liked as much as the kids one. I know that. I have to live with that every day.
Oh no. That's so sad for you.
I mean, fucking
Americans.
Hey.
Americans are so spoiled. I mean, they'll complain about the
bad art can just be bad art. It doesn't have to be the decline of civilization or raping of your childhood or anything. Some of this shit ain't for you. And as you get older, this is sad in some ways, but as you get older, less of it's for you because you're spending less money, and that's what they want is your money. And the kids like it. There are kids growing up today who actually think Hayden Christensen as Anakin Skywalker is cool. Now, I'm not going to say I don't want to see those kids die in a fire, because I do. But I understand
what's the matter
those movies are for them. I'm on a big kick right now of wanting people to die in a fire. Those movies are for them, and they're not for me, and I have other movies, which, in retrospect, also aren't necessarily great either. But the point is, like, things happen and you go on in life and it's not all for you. And that's people in the mainstream, by which at this point it means straight white people, are used to everything being for them because everything has been. And so when things aren't for them, they freak out. And I understand the reasoning. You have to acknowledge that that's what it is and that that's appropriate and that it's not supposed to all be for you.
But also, if nothing was ever for you again,
you've
got
a lot of stuff.
Yeah. You still have a lot of stuff.
Also, patently, that's not the case, because it's like went from 99% of stuff being for you to 98% being for
you. Yeah, you are going to have stuff for you.
When people are really feeling progressive, it gets down to like only 90% being for you. It's still fine. As John Stewart said once, I think in more of a religious political context, but you're mixing up persecution with not getting everything you want all the time.
Yeah.
So we're at like an hour and a half episode.
Oh, okay, sorry.
It's maybe our longest episode ever.
Yeah.
And we still only managed one question.
From Azure Town, of all people.
Like, half of this episode has been about that fucking question.
Yeah.
So, from you Azure got Town. Your mileage out of your too many words writing ass. So, you're welcome. It was a very good question. Too fucking
well, his questions aren't even usually questions. We get
his
the questions, joke, we move on.
His questions are usually hate crimes. His questions
are usually... Well, I mean, there's nothing
usually,
to talk about.
what's wrong with America. His questions are why I still occasionally have suicidal ideation. This one was good, but it was long.
That was actually a question.
You still have flaws, as you're telling. Work on them.
Yeah.
We just want what's best for you.
Yep. All
right. We should get out of here. Have a good week, everybody. It's going to get hot again. That's kind of going to suck. But stay safe. COVID's still fucking crazy out there. Buy some caftans. I want to bring them back in general. I like them. I want there to be more options. So if more of you buy them, it'll be a new market. So get on that. They're super nice and comfy. I love them. And then we can get some long sleeve ones for William.
Yeah.
Which everybody's going to think it's just a funny joke. But in reality, we had a conversation earlier today where he was like, I want one, but I want one with long sleeves.
Yeah, I'd rather have a long sleeve.
I realized when we can go out again in the world, and now that we're both just writers / homemakers, I said, like, we'll probably get together for, like, breakfast once a week or whatever. How fucked up is it going to be that only half of our friendship is recorded on the internet? That's going to be weird.
That'll be weird.
I have a hard time picturing it.
It'll be good because I don't talk about everything I could or would talk about.
Yeah, yeah. When we're not recording, you really are obsessed with sex. I guess this will be a better outlet for that. And you swear a lot more. So, I mean, I guess that's good to get out of the way. All right. Come back next week. We'll do this again. Probably shorter because this was crazy. We love you all. Bye-bye.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.